I'll give myself 5, and then I will start. Okay. And then you can start also after me.
Gotcha.
That's how it works in podcasting. Pretty much an expert now.
Save it for the show.
Hi, everyone. My name is... Oh, shoot. Let me start again. Sorry.
Boo.
Saying I'm an expert.
I know. I like that you started going, oh, listen, I'm a bit of an expert at podcasting now.
Blump. Hi, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
Full disclosure, Dave and I just came from Pizza Place.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Dave. I almost choked just then. Dave had boneless wings.
I did.
So full disclosure, Dave had boneless wings.
That's because, is that some sort of a communications law that if I eat boneless wings, we have to disclose it on the show?
I think so, yeah. I think it's important for people to know. I'm setting the stage for what's about to happen. Just saying, Dave had his option if he could have wings with bone or wings without bone.
Yeah.
He went, give me the boneless.
I went for the boneless option. And I've got to say that it wasn't that appealing.
Mm-hmm. I had the boneless pizza.
And you had the boneless spinach salad.
Yes. Both of which were pretty good.
Yeah. The thing about taking the bones out of meat is that you lose a lot of the flavor.
True.
And you end up with something that isn't actually meat,
mm-hmm.
but is like a meat sort of thing.
Right.
That you've kind of shaped into something and then coated and then...
And the sad thing is you know that there's someone in the kitchen who has to remove the bones, and that guy's title is, he's the boner.
He'd be the deboner.
True. A boner would be putting his bone into your meat.
He'd be suave and deboner.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
The waiter was a very friendly waiter.
And very friendly.
Very, very friendly.
Friendly guy.
Yeah, and he was saying to us that he's been working for the company. We won't say the name of the place.
No.
But he's been working there for about 25 years.
We won't say the name of the place, but its initials are RQXK9.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Retrovic pizza place. No, he's actually been working there for 15 years, but his family's in the business, so he's been around for about 25 years.
Yeah.
And he was saying, like, his mom used to work there, and she said the nice thing was, like, when she worked in the 80s, you were allowed to slap customers. And those were the glory days.
Those were the glory days.
Like a customer's lipping off, you just, and it was, this was in Calgary.
Yeah.
You could just give him the old backhand, and then the cops would come, and the cops would go, anyone want to press charges? And no one would. And that was the end of that. And it was just like, it was the wild, wild west at this very famous Canadian pizza place.
Okay. Well, to be fair, Calgary is the home of the Calgary Stampede,
mm-hmm.
which I believe is the world's second largest stampede called the Calgary Stampede.
Yeah.
So... obviously, the town already has kind of an old west, wild west.
Well, Calgary
Midwest.
Is, they had one of those Canadian heritage moments.
East-west.
And it turns out that Calgary is where they invented the sucker punch.
The sucker punch and the sucker slap,
mm-hmm.
which is where you don't look like you're going to slap someone, and then you slap them upside the head, sucker.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait, wasn't that? No, I think I was thinking of the old John Wayne, I ain't going to hit you, I ain't going to hit you. Like, hell, I ain't. And then the old punch.
And he hits him.
Yeah. And people think, like, he invented the sucker punch with that. No, sir, he did not. It was invented in Calgary.
It was invented.
By the premier.
It's invented by a lamprey.
Yeah, lamprey. A lamprey was the premier of Alberta.
Alberta, yeah.
Yeah. And while he was visiting on the back of a train, he was pulling into town.
Yeah.
And people went, oh, look, there's a lamprey. And people didn't expect a lamprey to throw a punch. The last.
Last thing you expect.
The last thing you expect. One, you would not expect your premier to throw a punch. Two, you do not think a lamprey is able to throw a punch.
Lacking arms.
And yet that little girl learned a lamprey can throw a hell of a punch.
That six-year-old girl learned a valuable lesson.
Well, she got lippy about taxes, to be fair.
She was off on it because they don't like taxes in Alberta.
Mm-mm.
They don't like taxes at all.
No.
In fact, they think of themselves as kind of the opposite of taxes. They think of themselves as Texas.
How is that the opposite? That's a sound-alike. That a sound-alike is not the opposite.
Totally opposite.
Look.
Taxes, spelled backwards, is Texas.
We are the opposite of an educational podcast, I think. I think that's what it is.
Well, you know.
And again,
I don't want to brag.
In light
but...
of full disclosure, we have done one podcast already today, and we're a little loopy.
I like your in light of full disclosure.
Yeah.
I'm going to tear down the first wall.
Well, it's not the first wall. I'm not saying when we did this podcast.
Oh, okay.
To you, it's fresh. It's fresh. Yeah.
It's
fresh
moments
as,
ago.
It's as fresh as bagged ago. Canadian milk.
It's fresh as a bag of milk.
That's right.
That's a Canadian expression.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Because okay. Canadian cows shit bags of milk.
That's how we get it.
That's how we get it.
Yeah.
And so we're a little bit.
Well, it's actually they have giant teats.
Mm-hmm.
And when they squeeze it, they just squeeze out these big bags of milk per squeeze. It's like a bag of milk, bag of milk, bag of milk,
sure.
bag of milk.
Okay, I'll go with that too. I don't really know. I don't want to know how my milk is made.
We've never worked in a dairy farm. We worked in the exact opposite of a dairy farm,
which is
a dairy farm.
A dairy farm. Yeah. So we grow diaries for little girls?
Yeah, you create diaries there.
Okay.
You just kind of start them off. Dear diary.
Mm-hmm.
Today I got my first kiss. And then you just kind of dot, dot, dot. And then the girls can do the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. And then their little brothers come and pick the diaries.
they pick the lock.
And they laugh at them. And
did anyone ever lock those diaries? The key is rather simple. I think
you can unpick those with a paperclip quite easily.
I think you can unpick them by opening them.
Mm-hmm.
You just pull on it and it comes apart. And then
I don't understand is if you're a little girl and you're writing in your diary, write in a damn code. Like don't write like secrets and then have them crack open if you know you got a brother or
exactly.
you got parents.
Exactly.
Because your parents are going to read a diary.
But it's up to the parents. Parents, before you give your daughter a diary, give her a book on coding. Give her a book on cryptology so that she can learn the secrets of, you know, how to create a code and an uncrackable code, not a simple code.
Right.
I don't want to see, like, the alphabet, you know, two letters up so that, you know, A is C. That's simple. Anyone can solve that.
Right.
It's got to be more complicated than that. It has to have numbers in it with a mix of letters and
exactly.
symbols.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's what the kids have to learn. And then, or even better, learn to write with a mirror and learn to write backwards like Da Vinci.
Oh, did he do that?
That's a Da Vinci code.
Did he really use a mirror and do that kind of thing?
Yes, he
or
did.
Is that all just a lead up to that?
No, he really did do that.
Okay, all right.
I didn't know you didn't know that. Yes,
Dave, what you do here is you verbally sucker punch me with these things.
That's why I'm known as the Lamprey of podcasting.
Yes, you are.
That's why I have that name. Because I have no arms and because I'm a sucker.
Yes, you are indeed.
A sucker MC.
Now I got to put a clip from that up. with Da Vinci, when you're mentioning Da Vinci, they had a thing a while back where they were saying, you see a picture of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And it matches up with Da Vinci's face. And like, oh, did he draw himself maybe as the Mona Lisa? Maybe he used his own face to be the Mona Lisa. Now, my theory is that Da Vinci was actually a woman. And that this was the only real picture of what he used to look like as a woman, you know.
Okay.
But as a woman, if you're a genius in those days, you know, you're not going to be able to do nothing.
Mm-hmm. So you have to put a false beard.
You put on a false beard.
Okay.
And then and Da Vinci was homosexual. And
that's not true.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I think you're thinking of Michelangelo.
Well, I think like there's quite a few, but. If Da Vinci was gay, then it makes sense that he was just a straight woman.
Okay.
And there you go, there you go. And it all kind of lines up pretty well if you look at it that way.
Oh, totally.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause no one would have noticed at all in those days.
Well, you see what he's wearing.
Mm-hmm.
You could
do it. Yeah, it's pretty bulky robes that they wore.
And you're never going to think, you know, I mean, there you go. So I think Da Vinci was a woman and that was his greatest, woo.
Well, thank you for your contribution to the internet.
Okay.
I think you're wrong, but that's okay.
Yeah, because it's the internet.
Because of the internet, so I'm allowed to disagree with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it virulently later on. I'm going to write a complete, like, slam on you and post it anonymously. Anonymously
if you could do
online.
That on our Sneaky Dragon iTunes listing, that would really help.
Oh, that would be good if I do it anonymously.
Yeah, if we just write, reviews, and we don't review the podcast, we just review each other on the podcast and, like, make snarky comments back and forth.
Yeah, that'd be good. Love the show. Think it's hilarious. Ian's Da Vinci theory is bullshit.
Yeah.
Just none of that.
That's right.
Okay. Don't be surprised if that shows up.
Please do. Actually, I noticed that we did get on our Canadian iTunes site, someone did throw down a review.
Yeah.
Once again, someone heard me on Caustic Soda.
Yes.
You know,
does not give up.
Your premium podcast for how bodies can dissolve in various acids.
In caustic soda.
That's right, yeah. But they seem to like the show, and they give us a little hey. So thanks to whoever did that.
We should have researched it and had the name at hand.
Yeah, now that's a little too kiss-ass.
You think that's too kiss-ass?
Just generically, thanks for the good words,
we do appreciate it.
We do. We really do appreciate
it. Or a lady. Because it could be Da Vinci disguised. You know,
women
it could be a woman.
Women can't use the internet.
Women can't use the internet.
No.
What if they're disguised as a man? What if they're wearing a beard? What if they write backwards in a diary using a mirror?
Yes.
They can use the internet then.
Okay. Yes.
That's a good thing to know.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Women use the female internet, which is the shinternet.
The shinternet?
Yeah.
And what is the shinternet?
Well, they search for things on Shugle.
Shugle, okay.
Yeah.
It's all shoe-related?
Well, mostly shoe-related.
Okay.
It's like you're asking, like, I'd like to know something about world history. Did you mean shoes?
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I'm feeling shoey. And then you go to that.
So they post a lot of comments to each other on Shitter?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what they do.
Okay.
Can you think of one for Facebook?
Yes, I can.
Okay, go.
Facebook.
Not so good.
Nope.
Facebush. Nope. That was like three strikes with Facebush. One swing.
Facebush.
Well, no, that's for guys with bushy beards.
Oh yeah.
Facebush.
Right. Okay. Sorry. Confused.
That's right. That's for hipsters.
But I was getting your Da Vinci theory confused.
Once again, folks, I really apologize for the rambly nature of this one. I know we do tend to ramble, but look, I'm just telling you, if you got a problem with what you've heard so far, it ain't going to get better. We're going to go the ramble bush.
So are you recommending that they stop the show now?
No, I'm just apologizing for Dave having boneless wings.
Well, that's the thing. The lack of bones has obviously caused like kind of a...
You've got no calcium
loose,
in you.
Yeah, there's just like a loose kind of nothing to the show.
You've got raw protein and you've got no calcium in you at all.
This whole show, this whole podcast has no skeletal system or whatever it would be called. Skeletal thing.
Yeah, that's
what is it called? Is it called the skeletal system?
Well, it depends if you're talking about a skeletal system. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about a skeletal system.
If you were talking about a solar system, you'd be wrong.
If there is such a thing as a solar system, is that what women have?
So yeah, they live in another section of space.
Okay.
Yeah, space is his and hers.
Space is his and like a towels hanging.
Yeah.
Parallel universes,
mm-hmm.
Just beside each other.
Wouldn't that be terrible if you got to heaven and it was his and hers, and it was like real stern and really strict? We just don't want the men and the women.
Don't want to mixing. So the Shakers were right, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We really should be separate from each other.
Yep.
Yeah, that was not a good idea.
And so
you know what Shakers were, right?
Well, yeah, that's what we had at the table at the restaurant.
With the chili peppers,
Parmesan,
in them?
Yeah,
in the Parmesan.
Sorry, I'm just picturing it's like camp, and people have to sneak out of like male heaven, and they sneak across the lake of fire, I guess, and then you get to the girls'
it's
camp.
It's heaven, though. Why would there be a lake of fire in heaven?
Well, you go the long way around,
seems,
so it's not
so,
cool.
Okay. They put hell between
well,
the two
Saint
sides.
Well, Saint Peter is outside of guy heaven, and Saint Patrice is outside of lady heaven. So you got to go go around the back, and the way you go around the back is you got to go down, sneak through hell, go across the lake of fire, back, sneak back up, and that's the way you make it into the ladies' heaven.
So Saint Peter and Saint Petra.
Yeah, and boy, the ladies' heaven, it's so clean.
Because there's no slobby ladies?
Well, I just remember.
They don't make it there.
Whenever you see, like, when it was like boys' camp and girls' camp, it was just like Lord of the Flies at the boys' camp, and then it was Petticoat Junction at the girls' camp. That's not the good reference, but you know what I'm saying.
When you were in elementary school, did you get to go to camp?
We did.
You went to Evans Lake?
Yeah, I would say like it's in about one of the top five worst experiences of my life.
Why?
And I'm including deaths.
Why?
I'm including deaths in that. Because it was just such a fucking nightmare. It was such a nightmare.
In what way?
Were
you a lonely boy?
Were you starting a song there? It sounded like you were starting something.
Hey there, lonely boy.
No, I wasn't particularly a lonely boy in my real life, but in school life, sure, I didn't get along with other people. And so now
all these people you didn't get along with, you're all traveling.
People that were beating me up at school every day repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Hey, how about instead of, you know that part at the end of school where you get to come home and be safe?
Yeah.
What if we get rid of that?
Yeah.
What if instead you're staying with those guys, like say in a cabin? What if you're staying in bunk beds like prisoners?
But didn't they have like the cabin of misfit boys?
I think we're all misfit boys at that age, which was, I think, grade six. I think that is the misfit age.
Like, I went twice with the girls to Evans Lake with their elementary school. And both times I was a cabin dad.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know.
From the movie Cabin Dad.
Yeah, Cabin Dad. You've seen that movie with Christopher Rock.
Yeah.
And the thing was, is that I seemed, I don't know why, I don't know if they knew me, but I seemed to get the goofy boys.
Mm.
I got the boys who just didn't
from the movie in. Goofy Boys.
Yeah, with Christopher Rock.
Yeah,
and Adam Sandler. The I just got the boys that, you know, they didn't fit into the kind of other jock centric cabins. I had the readers, the nerds, the shy boys.
Yeah,
I got them, which was fine. I don't mind that. Like, because I get along with those kind of people, just aces,
as proved by this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. You and I are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just curious, You didn't obviously didn't have
no, no.
That.
It was just random. It was just like whatever. You know, they just shoved you into a damn cabin with
yeah.
Assholes.
It was different. It was different when we went. The camp was different actually.
Okay.
Because I went back and everything was changed. Like they had moved the cabins were up on a hill,
mm-hmm.
and they were into smaller groupings than they were before.
Oh, okay.
And so you only had you know maybe 10 or 12 boys to a cabin instead of like a whole classroom of boys, you know.
Yeah, we had okay. So we get in the cabin, and it's like once again, you can't go home. That's great.
Yeah.
So you're staying with these guys who just like beating you up. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how would you like to shower with those guys too? Hey, that's great. Let's throw nudity into the mix. Hey, let's all do a bunch of like really roughhousing like sports and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that also sounds fucking great with these people that like like beat. It's just like could not be worse. You
can I pause the tape? Can I pause the tape for 1 second?
Sure.
Did you not have a sense of humor at that time?
No, I had a fucking sense of humor, but kids are assholes.
Because, see, I was able to joke my way out of those kind of situations you're mm-hmm. describing. Like, I was Mr. Joke, Mr. Funny yeah. Guy. There was one boy who would always threaten to punch me unless I had a joke for him.
Uh-huh.
And so, fortunately, every day, I had a joke that I could tell that guy and avoid possible
well,
punching.
Well, I had just moved.
He may have been teasing me. I never, you know, didn't have a joke so yeah, find it a face.
I had just moved from Ontario
okay.
to here, so I didn't have the traction yet.
So you're a
little
I was
different. Just the new
well, that's
weird
the same
kid.
With me. I mean, it was grade 6. I moved to Delta in grade okay. 6. So I was pretty new. I moved there in Halloween. I moved there I came exactly on Halloween. My very first day at school was a big dance party.
Mm-hmm.
And I was Mr. Awkward, don't know anybody. Went right. to a school where we did not have sock hops, did not have dancing things. And here I was, you know, so that was kind of awkward, but.
We used to, but there was a lot of nuns involved because it was a Catholic school.
So you had to dance with the nuns.
Yes, to do the hustle. That's weird.
That's called sublimation.
That's weird. You shouldn't be doing do the hustle with a nun.
I don't think nuns should be sublimating their desires with boys in classes. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Okay, moving on.
Okay.
You've thrown it into a whole different level of weird.
Okay.
By the way, if this was a horror movie, how it would have gone is I would have been in the cabin. I would have been the kid getting kind of picked on, mm-hmm. really miserable.
Yeah,
I would probably have been the first one killed.
Yep.
And then they would all get killed in a row, and you would find out in the end it was a nun that had done it.
Oh.
It was a nun that snuck over with me and you know, was really angry that I had betrayed that old school and come over here. And so, yeah, wouldn't that be like really scary, like okay. like a horror movie with like a stabby nun?
Sure.
Terrifying.
We could call it Nunday the 13th.
Sure. Sure, 9/13. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you got the woods. Woods are also shitty if you like to be clean.
Okay.
You know, it's like you got the water there. It's cold.
Yeah.
You got food that's crappy. It's just like, and then, hey, here's what we like doing at night. Oh, what do you like doing at night? I'll tell you one thing. We did a talent show, and, mm-hmm. and that went well. But we had like every night, hey, how about some ghost stories? Sounds good. Now, I'm a kid with a real good imagination, like mm-hmm. to the point where, you know, I wouldn't sleep with the lights off because
okay.
it was like so freaky. Like I could think of things that were horrifying.
Yeah.
So this was great starter fluid for this. So they tell me something about this, that, and you know, it was on a night just like this and this and murder and murder and
yeah,
murder.
Yeah.
Okay, go to sleep. Now I'm not sleeping. I'm not sleeping the whole damn night.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah. But I was going, well, at least I'm not getting beat up at night. So I'm enjoying this. Next day starts. I haven't slept. Now I'm really messed up, even weaker. Let's go for a swim and repeat for various days. And
wow.
Yeah, I was the kid that like by around day three, one of the counselors went, I got to take this kid out in a cabin, not a cabin, in a canoe and just talk him down because, you know,
wow.
I'm like, I'm well, a second away from just like running into the woods and just going, fuck it. I'll live here.
Wow. I think I was better socialized than you.
Good.
Because I didn't suffer anything. You know, to be honest with you, I enjoyed those outdoorsy things.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them less now. Like now I'm more kind of a fussy person. I don't like camping.
I think it threw
things.
Me off so much that, I just – camping just was – you know, when people would mention camping years later, it would just be like, yeah, you could do that or you could go fuck yourself. You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, yeah, or I could chew some glass. Yeah, that'd be good as well. No, sir. No, I do not want to. Nowadays, I spend a lot of time in the woods. I love the woods like Stanley Park here.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I do a lot of writing there. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, it took me a long time to like outdoors again after that.
Yeah.
But that's my secret origin story is that, you know, grade 6, big nightmare. Grade 7, even worse. And then like one of my teachers went, this guy's headed down a bad road, which I was. And they got me into an acting program, Green Thumb. And that really turned my life around. And that kind of really did save my life doing that. But yeah, before that, boo. And the worst of the worst at school was the time I spent at that camp.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, Freck, I'm the horror movie. Like, I'm the guy who would come back to that camp and just go,
you're Jason.
Revenge. Yeah. Yeah.
You're Jason.
Exactly.
Wow. See, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot of good memories.
Jason's mother, either way.
I had a lot of good memories from it. It was like swimming and going kayaking or canoeing around and lighting fires and the campfire songs and things like that. I enjoyed all those things quite a bit. And so I was happy to go back with the kids. And actually, the first time I went.
It would be scary if you went back and you were still there.
Yeah, I enjoyed it so much. when I was the same age.
You never left, Dave.
Yes. my pictures on the there's a picture of me with a bunch of people from the 1920s at camp.
Yeah.
Okay. The first time I went, actually, I took over from my brother-in-law. He did the first two days at camp, and then I came up on the Wednesday.
And he went, fuck this.
Yeah.
Because he was sensible.
Well, he had a job.
Went to the woods, never came back.
We both had jobs, so we couldn't like take a whole week off, so we just took a couple days off each. And so I went up. And this was the first time. This was when Mary was there. And these boys.
You mean Phyllis?
Phyllis?
Phyllis? Phyllis, your daughter Phyllis?
My daughter. No, this is my real daughter, Mary.
Oh, okay.
Not my fake daughter, Phyllis. All right. And of course, I couldn't be in Mary's cabin because I'm a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a girl.
Right.
And so she was with the girls in their cabins with the mum mentors or mum, what would be the word? Supervisors, I guess, would be good. And so I was supervising in the boys' cabin. And so I took over from my brother-in-law. And the first thing I get there, and what was nice was my nephew was one of the boys in the cabin. So I like that because I like my nephew. And so I come in, we're sitting down. I'm just, you know, putting some stuff away that I brought up. And this one guy goes, finger up. And everyone puts their finger up. I'm like, what? And I go, you didn't put your finger up. You have to swallow the fart because someone had farted. And this game they had invented was if someone farted, they said finger up. Everyone had to put their finger up. Last one who did had to swallow the fart. So I said, you have to swallow the fart. So I just took this big breath of air and then gulped it down.
Yeah.
And this one boy points at me and he goes, you are so cool. That was it. I broke the ice right there.
Wow.
They just loved me after that, that I would actually go along with their goofy game.
Sure. Wow.
That's
okay.
Secret.
So you swallowed the fart.
I swallowed the fart.
Did that ever pass?
I hope so. I really do.
Imagine if that was still in you.
I think that's how you, one. Isn't that how you burp? Like you swallow air and then you can.
Yeah, you burp by swallowing another person's farts.
No, I don't mean that.
Because there's only one fart in the world.
No, I don't mean that.
And it goes from person to person.
Person to person?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Yep.
So I expelled it later on and someone else had to swallow it.
The circle of life and it. Yeah, that's how it goes.
Nice.
That's how farts work.
My second time.
By the way, you're not selling me on camp with that story.
That's okay.
It's a very charming story on your behalf, but it's just swallowing the fart. Okay.
I'm talking to the audience. I'm not talking to you. You are Mr. Bitter.
All right, I'll be off to the side. I'll be fixing the curtain.
You're an alien about this.
Wow, it's gotten nasty. Even the talk of camp and I feel like I'm an outcast in my own damn podcast.
Shut up, I'm going to kick you.
All right, I'm going to be out in the canoe.
Fucking beat you up, Boothby.
All right.
I got a lot of that too.
Did you fart swallower?
I don't want to say.
By the way, that would be the worst job at the circus. The sword swallower.
And
then like one step down is the fart swallower.
I learned to put my finger up. And then the next time, what I really liked in the other with the, when I went with my younger daughter, the boys I was with, they decided everyone had to choose like an animal for their cabin, like, you know, so there were the unicorns and there were the cobras and stuff like that. And
wait a second. So it's a cabin full of boys and they decided to call themselves the unicorns?
No. The girls were unicorns. I'm just saying.
I'm just curious about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey guys, we're all unicorns.
Yeah.
What? No. Really? Okay.
No, there was one girl's cabin that called themselves the Sparkly Sasquatches, which I like that one. But my cabin was the Rabid Rabbits.
I like that.
So that was good. So I drew on their poster, I drew a angry looking rabbit for them, and they quite like that.
That's a video game, by the way.
Rabid Rabbits?
Yes.
I wonder if they knew that. I wonder if that was an inspiration
for
them.
It was not. Not back then. No.
It's more recent?
Yes.
Because that would have been.
It's a spinoff of the Rayman video
games. Okay, I don't know any of those. Sorry.
All right. I'll put a clip up.
But yeah, I guess they stole it. They must have seen it. They must have heard the one boy did this fantastic rap. This one little boy, Henry, he did this fantastic rap.
I would like to hear it
the
right
rabid
now.
Rabbits.
Let's hear it.
I cannot repeat it. I'm sorry. It's lost to the ages.
Okay.
But it was really good.
I was going to lay down a fat beat, but I guess not.
Well, if you want to lay down a fat beat, maybe I'll.
Beat.
That was not fat.
Beat. Rapid. Beat.
That's pretty much
rap.
That was pretty much the sound definition of anemic. What do you call it again? A what beat?
Oh, a fat beat.
A fat beat. Yeah, that was not fat.
Okay.
That beat obviously.
Listen,
had some...
I didn't have boneless wings. I had a Spanish salad.
Yeah, well.
And a vegetarian pizza.
It's telling.
All right.
It's showing itself.
Continue with your camp stories.
I'm kind of out of them now. Wait, oh, the other thing was...
Did this happen on a night just like tonight?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
I didn't tell any ghost stories. I did tell a lot of jokes in the cabin, but I didn't tell any ghost stories. I'm not really a ghost story fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the point in them.
It was one of
the,
here's how long ago it was. Our story ended with the guy pulling out a fake gun and shooting it towards us.
Really?
But it was a cap gun. It was a cap gun, right? But it was pretty realistic. Like, I don't think nowadays you could whip out a gun, aim it at children, and fire it.
No,
and
no.
Just like, and that murderer was me! And then bam! And then all the kids pee. That's the end of that.
Our teacher told us a story of someone hiding in the ceiling.
Yes, we heard that one too.
And using strings with hooks
to lift
the mattresses up.
Yeah, that one terrified me.
Really? And I was on a top bunk. Didn't bother me at all. But I'm not a person who's scared that way, as you know.
So. Well, there was a discussion afterwards in our cabin whether that story was true or not.
I think we had the same discussion, that kind of serious grade six discussion.
Yeah.
Have I ever told you the most serious? This is a grade six discussion. I was in grade five.
Right.
But it was some grade sixers. We were walking when I went to elementary school in Coquitlam. There was a pool attached to the park that the school was near. So we were walking to the park for our swimming lesson one day in the spring. And these grade six kids are talking. I happen to be near them. And this one girl asks this boy, he said, "Goes, Jamie, is there a God?" And he says, "Well, scientifically speaking, no." I just love that story. I just love this grade six boy pronouncing with great authority. "Scientifically speaking, no."
Wait, let me put on a lab coat. Hold right. A pipe.
I need a slider rope,
no.
Please. This is beautiful. It's one of my favorite memories.
I had an idea the other day of putting like sort of seductive phrases that shouldn't be there at the end of other sentences, and the one that I came up with was "I don't have an immortal soul that I know of."
Okay. What else?
That was it.
Oh, that's you know, "I don't have an immortal soul that I know of."
Wait, no, "I don't have an immortal soul that I know of."
Okay, you have to add that on there.
That's right. You got to be sensual at the end.
Okay. Well, scientifically speaking, there isn't a God. Kind of like that?
Right.
Can I,
what if then the God of science just showed up? And he looks like Albert Einstein with a beard. He's got that old-timey God beard, and he's got the God robe, but he's also got a lab coat.
Yeah.
And he's got some glasses. And it's just like, that's the God of science just shows up,
yeah,
and goes, "Wrong!" And then he disappears into a nucleus.
Just kind of, this sort of sucks up into this little,
yeah,
tiny... Yeah.
That's right.
That'd be cool. Do you ever notice all those Albert Einstein quotes on Facebook? They're always kind of metaphysical.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of feel like, aren't you kind of reaching?
Yeah.
Or
most,
like,
most of those quotes are reaching.
He never said that. That's how I always feel, kind of like, he never said that. There's this one.
You want to hit a button and go, context. You know, God doesn't play dice with the universe. Oh, okay.
Context.
I'm sure he did say that.
Yeah.
And context.
Yeah. Well,
let's see what he talked to before.
He's referring. He's referring to quantum physics and in something or other theory. I can't think of the name now. It's jumped out of my head. I'm sorry. But, you know, I mean,
the theory that God is a degenerate gambler.
That's right. The poker theory.
That's right. The universe was created when God and Satan were playing poker.
Playing craps.
That's
actually,
right. Playing craps.
Yeah. The craps theory of, I don't know. It just seems kind of weird. Like this, it's just kind of like that, you know, he's on our side, kind of whatever. But since I brought up that boy, who scientifically speaking felt that God didn't exist. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you another story that's sort of related to him.
Okay.
This is grade two. I'm taking you back to grade two, people.
Okay. What year is that?
I don't know.
You do.
I only know.
You learned the math that would tell me that in grade two.
I don't know. I only know when something happened in my life by grade. I really do not know. I've kind of figured out that 1980 I was in grade eight. So
all right, were you born?
66.
You were born in 66? Yeah. Add 7 to that.
73. So
it's 1973.
What? Oh my God, that was a long time ago. But anyway, 1973. So we were doing show and tell, and this girl got up.
Yeah, and she's wearing bell-bottom pants.
She's
still upset the Beatles broke up.
Yeah, the sister of, well, we probably didn't really know who the Beatles were too well at that time. They're sort of vague. But anyway,
okay.
Sister of this boy, he was a grade above us. I didn't know him at the time.
Right.
She got up in front of her class, and she told us this story. It was a really moving story. Because in Coquitlam at that time, in winter, the local lake, Como Lake, would freeze over. Mm-hmm. And you could go ice skating there. And it was quite fun.
Yeah. Best time to skate on a lake? When it's frozen.
When it's frozen.
Good tip.
Good tip. But this was an unfortunate thing that happened to her family because they were skiing at Como Lake and her brother fell through the ice and drowned. Like the fireman came and, you know, he had just fallen through the ice and he had drifted down and they were unable to get to him in time and he died. So she told the story in class. She was quite upset about it. So that was grade two. Fast forward 3 years to grade five.
And I
was
now we're in 1976.
That's
everyone's
right.
excited about the Montreal Olympics.
And everyone's excited about Jaws.
Okay.
And that's all everyone's talking about, Jaws and Happy Days.
And the Olympics.
And the Olympics. That's right. And so I was in a class.
Actually,
the Olympics were over by this point because this would have been in the fall of that year.
But people were still discussing if there was a swimming race between Fonzie and Jaws,
who would win? Or Mark Spitz.
Okay.
Fonzie, Jaws, or Mark Spitz.
Now, this is before Fonzie had jumped the shark.
Well before he jumped the shark.
Okay. You're telling a somber story. I'm sorry to bring that
That's
up.
Okay. That's okay.
Oh, please.
So this boy, her brother was in class with me in grade six.
Right.
I was in grade five. It was a split class.
And we're in Canada at this point.
Yes.
So no one's excited about the bicentennial.
Not at all.
All right. Go ahead.
Not a whit. And we were happy for America.
Right. You enjoy a schoolhouse rock, you know, like a little...
Yeah, that's right.
Like to hear about a little American history, about elbow room.
Yeah, elbow room or the Constitution. You know, I'm only a bill, all those sort of things. Suffering before suffrage, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't remember that one, but I'll take your word
Mother Necessity.
Okay, Mother Necessity, ahead. Yeah. Okay, was that the one about invention?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so then...
we're in 1976.
76.
You cannot get AIDS no matter who you have sex with.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Not even AIDS. Even if you have sex with AIDS in 1976, you cannot get AIDS.
Right, AIDS.
Bob AIDS.
Who was we found out ironically, patient zero.
Patient zero.
Bob AIDS.
Bob AIDS. He gave the name to AIDS.
Okay. It's 1976.
76, exactly.
You can remember it easily because of 76 trombones and the big parade.
Nadia Comaneci had kicked ass at the gymnastics of the Olympics.
Right. Are we 2 years before Star Wars?
1 year. 77.
1 year?
77, yeah.
Okay, so they are probably shooting Star Wars.
No, this would have been 77. Grade 5 would have been 77.
77.
Grade 4 was 76.
Oh,
grade
that's very different. 77.
77 is totally different.
Okay. Match Game has changed its sign from Match Game 76 to Match Game 77.
Okay.
Richard Dawson is still king of that game.
Oh, my gosh. He was great.
May he rest in peace.
Yes. God
bless. Passed away earlier this year. Okay.
Yes.
Continue. 1977 is the year.
Yeah, 77. I had gone to see Star Wars with my friend on his birthday, opening week. Very, very great.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, enough of that. So I was in class with this boy. And so I said to him, you know, I was so sorry to hear about your brother dying. Your sister told us in grade 2 about it. It was so sad. He goes, I don't have a brother. I'm like, really? Because I never had a brother. It's just Laura and me. Oop, I said her name. But anyway, it's just Laura and me. I'm like, I was so mad that she would stand up in front of a whole class and tell this horrible story.
It seems like the kind of thing your teacher could have checked out real easy.
I guess so.
Wow. Now, there's part of me that goes, oh, that's sad that she was a liar. There's another part of me that goes, that's creepy. Like when someone goes, I never had a sister. Oh, not a sister. I never had a brother.
So that creeps you out more than the fact that this jerk told this big lie in front of us. And I felt sorry for her for 3 years after that until her brother blew the
Well, I'd like some backup. Like, I'd like to then see her there going, yes, we did. No, we didn't. And the memories are, and like, why can one remember?
Wait a second. Scientifically speaking, he didn't have a brother. All right? If you're going to take his word that scientifically speaking, there is no God.
Right.
You can take his word that scientifically speaking, he had no brother.
Well,
there was only the two of them in the family.
Here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
His brother died.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his faith in God.
Okay. That could happen. I can understand that.
And the only way, and he went, but
it's
you know
a
what? The only way I can deal with this is to imagine that my brother never existed.
Okay.
And that's what he did. And it was all fine.
And that's
for
fine.
For years. Until
some
Johnny
idiot.
Star Wars shows up with his Han Solo
some
shirt
jerk.
And goes like, hey, did you see Star Wars? It was really great. You know who would have enjoyed it? Your brother who's dead. And then you say.
I did not couch it like that.
And then he said to you, David. I never had a brother.
Yeah.
Wait, did I? The
dun,
memories.
Dun, dun. Yeah.
The memories. And then you say to him, well, listen.
Listen,
you said to him, don't worry. If he died while fighting,
mm-hmm.
he may come back as a ghost and help you with helpful tips.
That could happen, wearing a white suit.
Yeah, he may. Well, here's the thing. You didn't see Obi-Wan in the first movie come back in any outfit. He was just a
I was thinking
voice.
Of Randall and Hopkirk. Deceased.
Yeah, that's right. After you come see Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you think of is Randall and Hopkirk deceased.
That show is way better than Star Wars. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, okay.
That was my outrageous claim of the day.
I see you standing alone in a gigantic field wearing your Ramble Hopscotch shirt.
That's easy for you to say.
It really is not.
My Randall and Hopkins.
Listen, I don't speak British, buddy. I speak the Queen's Canadian English. Right. That's how I speak.
Okay.
You know, I don't speak that camp dialect. I don't even speak camp dialects. I hate camp
so much. Yes.
Yeah. No, I remember. Yeah, we were told that story about the hooks coming down and the child's mattress or whatever being lured up, and that's how the murderer worked. Yeah, first of all, that murderer had a lot of time.
Yes, he did, and a lot of inattentive campers.
Yeah, not hearing squeak, squeak, squeak. It's like, okay, fine.
And the other thing is, you stayed up half the night giggling and making jokes and farting and everything else. Like, when did this guy have time to do this? He would have fallen asleep. You hear this gentle snoring from above you.
Also, farts rise. So that poor bastard's up top.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't even have lasted a minute in a boy's cabin.
Could you imagine how bad a boy's cabin would smell up top?
Oh, I don't have to imagine. I lived it twice. Three times if you count my first time in camp. I didn't notice it then because I was a boy.
Yeah.
But being, frankly speaking, as a man, as a male, having to live through the boy's cabin experience two more times, not pleasant, people.
Well, I mean, and here's the other thing. It's like, okay, so this kid, and apparently, I remember that wasn't the first time this murder had happened where someone got pulled up.
Every year.
I know. I never thought to check. It's just like, why don't you?
How could he disappear? And the mattress disappeared too. What possible means could he have used to steal a mattress with a child on it?
Now, I'm going to
check the floorboards.
That's the big problem I have.
Look in the garbage cans.
Is that I get that you can go and murder a kid at camp. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be, if you have a camp, you're going to have spree murderers.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
It's natural.
But I'll tell you
something. You're there.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I don't believe with that is like, and the camp would be able to afford all these new mattresses? No.
Well, yeah. You'd think that.
No. We're not made of mattresses. No. We are made of children. But we are not made of mattresses.
No.
And look, he brought that kid up with a blanket and a sheet. You don't think he like.
Well, sleeping bags. You bring your own bedding. You don't. The camp doesn't provide bedding.
Okay, fair enough.
That may have been another problem you had when you went there, as you expected a 4-star hotel and you ended up shivering on a bare mattress. That may have been a problem for you.
There was a lot of damn problems. Yeah, there's
like,
a lot of damn problems.
What? I got to bring my own bed? What kind of place is this?
Jesus.
I just want to point out that if you've ever seen
a
horror...
I hope the place burns to the ground. Nobody gets hurt. I hope nobody gets hurt. But I wouldn't mind
it's
if the place was ashes
people,
come
it's,
tomorrow.
It's a wonderful place. It's unfortunate that Ian had some bad experiences there. But I think that
be ashamed of a tornado.
At that time
out.
In his life, in that unhappy place in his life,
anywhere
would have been unenjoyable for him.
Yeah, that is true. But it's good to bring kids somewhere you can't take care of them, too. That's also a good thing.
Who can't take care of them?
How about people like in charge of kids? That'd be maybe a thing, maybe people?
Well, I think that's why they brought more parents into the mix.
Maybe.
Because,
maybe.
We
got the full Lord of the Flies when I was there. You know?
Because,
I mean, kids will be kids.
Yeah.
But then adults must stop kids from being kids.
That's right.
That's the adult
you
job.
Don't want the kids worshiping a pig's head on a stake.
Well, no, because there's some Jewish kids there and some Muslim kids, and that's not right.
That's not right at all, forcing them to do that.
Well, to be fair, there wasn't any Muslim kids back then.
No, they didn't
exist. I don't think Muslims existed then.
No.
That was when
in
was
the
that?
70s?
No, that was a 90s thing. I think that that faith.
You started seeing them, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's when that
started.
Early
1990s.
Happened. Yeah.
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 But the revelation occurred.
Yeah.
All right.
Though, scientifically speaking,
there is no Allah?
I think so.
I didn't say that to anyone.
I think
that
you
was
did.
Ian. That was
think
Ian who
did.
Said that.
Nope.
No, that was Ian.
No, that was clearly Dave's voice.
That was I said there is no Fala. There is no Hala. There's no Hala Batgirl. That's what I said. That's something about bananas.
Wow.
My bananas.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
That shit is bananas.
Do you want a fat beat?
I don't know the song. I'm a white person.
So?
And I'm in my 40s.
That's right, because no white people like that song.
No.
You know what? The song was sung that by a white person. Hala Batgirl? That's a No Doubt song.
That's a technicality.
It's Gwen Stefani.
It's not a No Doubt song. It is a Gwen. So I know who wrote it.
Who wrote it?
I don't know who wrote it, but
you
the beats,
just said you
the
knew.
Beats are by that guy who worked with Missy Elliott. The guy.
Yep.
I don't know his name, but he worked with Missy Elliott.
And you're the music expert of the two of us.
I know, and I should know that. I do like Missy Elliott quite a
Here's
bit.
Here's the thing. When we have obscure music trivia, it's your job to pick up that and run with it. When
is
it's
that,
obscure comic book trivia, that's my side.
That's your side?
Yeah. You can throw any...
Is Missy Elliott obscure? I'd say it's pretty commercial. Like she's like a big hit, like gold, you know, platinum selling.
Right. I was confusing superstar. Her with Macy Gray, but that was just.
Macy Gray, yeah. She's a different thing entirely.
Macy Gray is who got attacked in Spider-Man.
Yeah,
right?
She's singing in Spider-Man.
She's never been the same since then.
It's kind of kind of weird.
Since the Green Goblin attack, she has not been right.
You know, it's just one of those unfortunate things where you're a Sony artist and they're looking to promote you and they kind of push you into the movie.
Who was Prince with when he was in Batman?
Who was Prince with?
Yeah.
Who is he going out with?
No.
Kim Basinger.
No, like his, who was his label?
Warner Brothers.
Okay, yeah, because, that does make sense then. Yeah, when the Joker's about to kill everybody and he starts playing a bunch of Prince music, and just like, well, this is some cross promotion.
That's a good album. Removed from the movie.
Yes.
It's a good album.
There's a lot of, you think you remember Batman as like being a really good movie? Watch it again.
No, it's not.
No.
I didn't like it at the time.
Oh, you didn't?
I thought.
Oh, wow,
How many times have I seen it?
I'm going to say once.
Yeah, and I didn't like it at the time. I did not like it at all.
Did you not like the Joker in it?
No, I did not like that character.
Oh, well, then you wouldn't like the movie because it's basically Joker's wild ride.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a little bit before when Shane was on the show, and remember I was saying that it was during the writer's strike, and so they were kind of working from a very rough script that was never really finished to anyone's satisfaction, but the wheels must keep turning on these sort of things, and so that happened. That's one of the reasons why Terry Gilliam's Watchmen never really went anywhere because the development took place during the writer's strike and once that whole process broke down, you know, the money fell apart.
And he said it was unfilmable as well, which, you know, if you look at it, it's
close at the time, to unfilmable. Time.
Well, here's the thing, like, looking at what was it, Zach? I forget what his last name is, but who?
Galifianakis?
When Zach Galifianakis directed the Watchmen movie. Mm-hmm. It's a different Zack. I understand that.
Zack Snyder.
He basically
Zack Snyder. Everyone.
He basically did it frame for frame like the comic.
Yeah, not the greatest idea.
Yeah, I mean it's not the worst idea, but it's not the greatest idea. Whereas if you look at Terry Gilliam, you'd go like he would have made the movie his own.
Yeah,
he would have taken it in his own direction.
You can say that, but you know, have you seen Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Yes,
I'd say he's very true to the spirit of the book.
Okay,
and there's only a couple.
Okay. I think he might be true to the spirit.
There's only a couple things that are added to it that are different from that are radically different from the book.
There's few things that I see in the. I mean, we went to San Francisco and we saw the first couple of minutes of the movie before the movie came out.
You and
me.
Yeah.
And it was very impressive.
It was when very impressive.
It was just like, whoa.
We saw the title sequence.
We saw the title sequence and we saw a couple of minutes
and
into
it. And we saw
it.
The Rorschach scene in prison.
Yeah. And when we saw that, like, because you saw the title sequence, that was probably the only thing in the movie that was his own.
Yeah.
You know, that it was like, oh, that's his twist on this. And it was now here we go. Yeah. And then it really was, if you've read the book, you go like, oh, I know exactly what's happening, like frame for frame almost. Yeah. And then
he really liked the comic and obviously had trouble detaching himself from it, you know, detaching his fans.
It's beautiful images in the comic, but it's static images.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't really what would make for a good movie. I still like the movie, but, you know, it was definitely flawed and there's nothing in it that you go, remember that visual when this happened? And you don't. There's nothing like that.
What would have been a good way to watch the movie is watch a bit of it, turn it off, wait a month. Watch a bit more, turn it off, wait a month. Just like go like that for 12
As we did with the comic.
Well, that's what made the comic great. I think we talked about that before, so I don't want to –
And we talked about
– labor that.
Yeah. Actually, the Before Watchmen thing has been out for a while. I have not read any of them really. I've seen a couple of the free preview
I'm
pages.
I'm curious to look at them. I'd like to see like Darwin Cook's
– It's pretty. You can see the first couple of pages online.
And I'd like to see Amanda Connor.
I'd
like
to see her drawings. You can see the first couple of pages online.
Okay.
I got nothing against the people who've done it. Mm-hmm. I think they do wonderful work, and I think they'll do wonderful work in the future.
Yeah.
It just seems flippant. Pointless. It just seems, you know, it seems like taking a cake that's already made and shoving a bunch of stuff on it and into it and around it. And
but it's no different than, I mean, it's really kind of...
Give me a parallel. I'd like a parallel.
It's fan fiction.
Yeah.
It's fan fiction. And I don't
but it's
see fan fiction as being irredeemable. I mean, I think there could be good fan fiction.
But it's fan fiction by the same people that made the actual book. That's the weird thing. Like, you know, when people talk about, say, Alan Moore did, used all these characters. He used, like, Dorothy from Oz, you know, and all these characters. Okay, but you don't get it published by the same company that did, you know, I mean, Wizard of Oz, of course, is so far in the past. But it would be weird if there was fan fiction about the Da Vinci Code by the same publisher publishers of the Da Vinci Code in a book that looked just like the Da Vinci Code, that the people who published the Da Vinci Code are going, no, this is really canon. This is part of what the Da Vinci Code is, and we're going to put it next to the Da Vinci Code on bookshelves.
Let's not compare Watchmen to the Da Vinci Code, but anyway.
Okay, but it's going to be on the same shelves. Sure. It's going to look the same. It's going to have the same logo.
Yeah. And I don't think people are going to mistake the two, but okay.
But it looks like what DC wants to do is...
And Watchmen is what it is. It's not. It will never exist as comic books again. It's a graphic novel. It will always be a graphic novel. It will always be sold now as 12 issues.
That's not, I think, what DC wants you to believe, though. I think what they're trying to get you to believe is that was an adventure with these characters. Here are the further adventures with these characters.
Do you really think that they're trying to do that?
Yes, with the amount of comics that they're doing. Yes. I think after these comics come out, mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be more Watchmen stuff. I'm sure there will be, unless this completely tanks.
Watchmen?
Yeah, there'll be like other – I can see like miniseries with these characters. Absolutely.
I don't see it tanking. I don't see it taking off at any great degree. I just find the whole thing tanking
a little bit myself. I don't wish it.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't really wish it ill because I want people to, you know, pay their, like, it's so rough for comic book artists right now mm-hmm. that I'm fine with people paying their bills. If they can find something that gets them some money, I mean, that's fine. It does feel like it's in bad taste. It does feel like it's pointless. I hope it will then lead like the people involved to do their own stuff afterwards and have a little bit of, you know, cushion to, you know, now Darwin Cook can do his own stuff for a while, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, he's put a lot of work into those Hunter books.
Yeah.
And they probably weren't the greatest sellers compared to, you know, the DC, things like that. I mean, I'm sure he needs to at least keep his name out there on that level.
And again, I've got nothing against the people who are doing it, who need the money, who, you know, or whatever.
It's not even that they need the money. It's just that they have ideas that seem interesting to them that they want to bring to these characters that they love. I mean, Alan Moore had interesting ideas that he wanted to bring to characters he loved, like Superman and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So this history of Superman as a character, thing is not really the happiest. I mean, there's lots of heartbreak behind Superman.
It's almost though the best Superman stories Alan Moore wrote were for Supreme to me. Like he did a really
There was one really great one-shot Superman that he did for DC that was
He did like the final Superman story before it all got rebooted.
That was really great. Was that the one with the Frank Miller cover with him stopping the train on the cover?
No. Do you remember? No, this was Whatever Happened to the Man of Steel. Okay. He also did a really good one with Dave Gibbons, which was this plant that like gave him his fondest wish.
Okay.
And that also had Batman and Wonder Woman. Robin, that was quite good, but I don't know the one you're talking about.
I just remember the cover of it. Maybe I'm mixing it up with.
Okay, yeah, no, he did do some wonderful Superman stories, but then afterwards he did all these issues of a comic called Supreme, mm-hmm. and he told these stories that were really fantastic Superman stories, just without Superman.
Yeah,
but then he could like push his imagination even further. Now I understand that it doesn't have as much weight as if it's the actual guy in the suit.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It feels to me like I understand money wise doing it. Creative wise, to me, it feels like if you've got those stories to tell, it's quite easy to do with other characters that, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, they're not going to have the same import. They're not going to have the same interests. You can't, you know. Yeah, I don't want to defend like, Before Watchmen.
Yeah,
I'm not defending it.
Yeah, between that and Superman. Like, Superman, again, has been around has had so many parents.
Yeah.
Whereas this just had one set of parents. And you, in your mind, it's locked into two people's creative vision, and this is what it is.
Yeah.
So when you're doing it yourself, I'm less on board with.
Oh well, I mean, we'll agree to agree. I do think a new frontier that Darwin Cook brought a different kind of twist to the characters that we all are very familiar with. So I'm kind of curious. I don't want to defend it because I personally would prefer that it wasn't happening at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't understand why DC wants to do this. I think it makes them, it's kind of a black eye for them, even if they can't see it, which it is hard to see your own black eye.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and I think that any of those characters, could be done the same way that Alan Moore. I mean, Alan Moore was originally going to be using Charlton characters for the Watchmen characters. DC said, no, we don't want any of these characters.
No, that's not exactly what happened. But there's a bit of a longer story to that.
Don't interrupt my story that I'm making up.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Sorry, my mic fell over.
I understand it did. Every time you tell a lie, your mic falls over.
my nose hits it when it grows.
There was once upon a time, possibly, he was considering that, but that was very brief. Mm-hmm. It was one of many, many different ideas. And then he realized, yeah, you could do more this other way.
Oh, I thought that DC that would prefer that, like the Blue Beetle and stuff like that.
There was a little bit of that. Like, it's an enormous story that's been well told online.
So yeah. I don't need to repeat it, is what you're saying.
I'm saying it's very look-upable.
You're bored of it. I'm not bored of it. I was boring you. What you're saying is I was being boring.
I'm very look-upable.
And you interrupted me.
What do you think of something like the comic?
Dave, don't cut your throat by being boring.
What do you think about the Peanuts comic book?
I'm not 100% for it because I feel like Peanuts was solely Charles Schulz and that he kept it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was very possessive of those characters. On the other hand, he really did prostitute them in the animated cartoons and stuff like that, particularly the later ones. I think the early ones are very heartfelt. Mm-hmm. But I think the later ones, like it's Disco Snoopy and...
Once it's past Arbor Day, Charlie Brown.
Jazzercise Snoopy. Those ones, whatever.
That's sort of the way I feel about it because I was actually considering, you know, maybe submitting or something to it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, at first it feels weird, but then there's two things. One, there have been Peanuts comic books in the past.
Yeah, there were some in the 50s.
So that has existed, and Schulz was cool with it.
Yeah.
I personally think, like, Schulz is the only person who should do – Schulz? Schulz.
Schulz,
It's the only person who should do the comic strip. There should be no more comic strips.
Yeah.
But it's been so – you can say prostituted, but you can say, like, it's been
– Yeah, prostitute's
kind of
a
every other medium. Yeah, television, it's video games. It's everything else under the sun was done by other people. So these characters, it's not like the only person who's ever drawn Charlie Brown.
I'm sure he did all the drawings for merchandising and things like that.
Are you?
I know. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I wouldn't swear in a stack of Bibles, but I'm pretty positive.
He didn't for that comic book that I'm talking
about. No.
About.
I know for the but I'm pretty sure for merchandise, like for mugs and keychains and all those sort of things.
Right.
He created those images for those. He didn't have a studio, right? It was only him. Mm-hmm. There was no one else worked with him. He had a secretary and him. That was his office.
Okay.
So, and she didn't do any drawings of Woodstock unless she doodled.
Yeah.
But,
it's a real gray area when you get to that kind of thing. Yeah.
I think, I was going to say something that was so important and now it's gone out of my head, but just thinking about the comics, I have quite a few Beetle Bailey collections of newspaper strips and stuff like that. But some of the ones I have are collections of the comic books. They're very different in tone. You know, they're nowhere near as good or as the same as the original comics.
And there's the European ones where you get to see Miss Buckley's boobs.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I am suddenly very interested
in that. Mort Walker was not afraid to draw topless Miss Buxley, but most of them end up in Europe. Yeah, there was like...
Is that look-upable, onlineable?
Yeah, there was compilations of just like Miss Buxley sexy cartoons, which is weird. When you actually look at Miss Buxley, it's so simply drawn that really? That works for you?
Oh,
knock yourself out.
Yeah, it does it for me.
Yeah, you know, you could really... If that turns you on, you could take a couple of pieces of spaghetti, bend them slightly, and like, ba-boom!
That's all it takes, my friend.
There you are, buddy. Enjoy.
Is it really just lines on paper?
Did you ever see the homeless child comic that Mort Walker did?
No.
Yeah, I forget the name of it, but
was it a comic strip?
Yeah, it was a comic strip. Oh. It did not last long because it was one of those "What are you thinking?" strips, and you know, because he was the creator of your Beetle Bailey.
Yeah,
who's co-creator of High and Lois.
Yep.
He was always looking for like a new angle.
Yeah.
New thing.
Sam Strip.
Boner's Ark.
Boner's
Ark.
He was also involved with.
Yeah. Back before boner meant boner.
This was boner like a mistake, people.
No. This was back when it meant an erection.
An erection before it became to mean a mistake.
That's right.
It was erection's arc.
Yeah. It was basically that.
Hard-on's arc.
Yeah. Basically. Okay. Yeah. So he had this, the idea was it's a homeless kid.
And with a hard-on.
He saved all those jokes for boner.
Okay, I'm sorry.
All the family jokes are High and Lois. All the army jokes are Beetle Bailey. All the boner jokes are in Boner's Ark.
Okay.
And all the homeless kid jokes are in this strip. And I forget the name of it, but I'm going to put it up online. And
there's a million of them.
Oh, there's a million of them. And the idea is the kid wanders around. He's kind of hungry.
Yeah.
But he's a bit of a wisecracker.
Oh, you know what? Sassy.
Maybe he knows a bit more about life than you think.
Well.
So something happens and he's still homeless and he says something to the dog and then they walk away down the alley.
He's got a dog.
Huh?
He's got a dog.
And you know, it's a little something about life.
Was it called Tiger? I know it wasn't. I'm just joking.
No.
I'm just joking.
And I think people just went, well, you know, after a certain point, someone's got to adopt Little Orphan Annie or this strip's just too much. And so eventually...
Well, You're looking at a big fan of Little Orphan Annie sitting right in front of you.
Right, but then Daddy Warbucks sweeps in and...
Hardly ever. Only every once in a while. Like, if you read Little Orphan Annie, most of the time she's out on her own.
Okay, but she's got a home to go back to.
No.
What? So
they're separated in some way.
What?
And it's just her on her own.
So Daddy Warbucks did not adopt Little Orphan Annie?
Not the ones I read, anyway.
Okay, you got to explain this to me. So Little Orphan Annie, she's in the orphanage.
Is she?
Is she?
No.
She's just a street urchin.
I think you're getting mixed up with the movie. Okay. Yeah, it's nothing to do with the film.
Just a street urchin.
Yeah.
Okay. What happened to her folks?
We don't know.
Okay. So her parents are just gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while. I do plan to reread them because I want to start.
Please do. I'm curious what happened.
I want to start buying
the IDW.
And then
the billionaire guy and her become friends. He does
yes.
not think.
He enjoys her pep. Her go-to-itiveness.
But not enough to go, hey, why don't you come inside the house
oh, no, he,
and
she
have
does.
A sandwich?
She does. She does.
Oh,
she does.
And she doesn't live there.
She does for a while, and then she ends up having to leave
sure,
again.
Sure, that's what the billionaire does. He goes like, listen, I enjoy your pep. Take a walk. And
he's
she goes,
busy. He's busy.
He's busy.
Yeah. The well, sort of, it's very vague. It's very vague what I remember now, but...
Yeah, because a busy billionaire...
it wouldn't be...
Listen, Dave, you know how busy you get. And whenever you get busy, you go, hey, my daughters, get out of the house
I
and
do.
Go live on your own
no,
for
no,
a couple
no.
of years.
No, no. But when I get very busy, I leave the house.
Yeah.
And I go away.
Right.
And they stay there.
With all the servants, if you're a billionaire, with
sometimes
with
things,
the ASP.
Sometimes
with
things
Punjab,
can go wrong. Sometimes things can go
with Irona, with Cadbury the butler, with Alfred the butler.
I can't remember the name of
with
his...
With Cato the butler.
Cato the butler, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It'd be good to have like a comic that's all butlers.
Three, Cadbury, Cato, and Alfred.
Yeah.
Who else is there for butlers? Can you think of any more?
Lurch.
Lurch? He's not really... Well, I guess he would be a comic strip.
Yep.
Butler. Hmm. I can't think of any more. That's okay. That's okay. Oh, I'm still trying to think of it, but I'm trying not to think about it, but I'm still thinking about
Scrooge
it.
Scrooge McDuck does not have a butler, right?
No, I don't believe so. That's oh, no, he does, but I don't know his name. But yeah, he's one of those kind of weird dog kind of creatures.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know his name.
He must not get paid a lot because Scrooge
no,
is very cheap.
No, he's very tight. Very tight. He just keeps his money to swim in.
Yeah, you know what? He's as tight as a duck's ass.
Do you know what? Thinking about comic strips, you know what's weird is one of my favorite comic strips when I was growing up.
Weirdo. That's a weird comic strip.
Weirdo?
The comic.
That was a comic book.
Collection.
Yeah, that was a great collection.
Yeah.
No, it was Nancy. I love Nancy, the Ernie Bushmiller ones.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to deliver a comic. Like, I used to deliver the newspaper. So
you're
I'd
a fan
read.
Of the Three Rocks.
What are the Three Rocks?
The Three Rocks, that was something that was like an Ernie Bushmiller kind of thing. He would draw three rocks.
Okay.
Like, you draw one rock, that's not enough rocks.
Yeah.
Two rocks, come on. Three rocks, fantastic. Four rocks, what's with all the fucking rocks? So you get a lot of three rocks
okay.
In the background.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a bit of a minimalist when it came to backgrounds.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, they're great.
All right, what's great about them?
What's great about the strip?
Sell me on it, buddy.
You don't like Nancy or you
no,
not?
No, dude. What I'm saying is,
well, this is the thing I like most about.
I'm a newspaper editor. Okay, let's just pretend I'm an editor
yep.
for a great metropolitan newspaper.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to pitch to you?
Yeah. So here's the thing.
No.
Listen, Mister. Our Amos and Andy comic strip's a bit too racist for this thing.
Okay.
And the Charlie Chan detective strip also racist.
Too racist?
Everything's racist.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're looking for something. I need something that's family friendly and funny.
What about your Oor Willy, the Scottish strip?
That's still going to be funny.
That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
everything's fine. So what do you got for me? What's it? Why is it hilarious? Why is it great? I got the guy from Blondie back here.
God.
He's got great ideas back there.
Chicken,
why should I go with you instead of this Charles Schultz guy who's riding my ass?
You know,
he thinks it's got merchandising possibilities. This guy's just schmuckish. No.
See, I am not good at the elevator pitch.
You're a terrible
I'm terrible
salesman.
At it. You know that, right?
Okay.
You're putting this on me and you know I'm terrible at the pitch.
Okay.
I would be good in a stalled elevator.
Okay.
I'm good at the stalled elevator pitch.
Okay.
Like, it's me and the guy for 2 hours.
I'm going the wrong way. Let me set
I
up
win
another
him over,
scenario.
I win him over.
It's another scenario.
Let me just talk to you why I like Nancy so much.
Okay.
I love Nancy because it's very funny. It's super funny.
Ha-ha funny?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Laugh out loud funny.
Good.
I love that about it. I love that he regularly broke what I like to call breaking the first wall. Because I cannot be bothered that there's even more than one wall.
Okay.
It's paper.
Mm-hmm.
There's one wall, all right?
Okay.
He would regularly, you know, like he would go on vacation and the characters would comment on it. He would take Christmas off. They would you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that kind of meta humor.
They tell him when his wife was cheating on him.
Yeah. They can see and he can't.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love that it's that sophisticated and yet that simple, because it was a very simple strip. People who complain about it being badly drawn, I think, are wrong. I think it's wonderfully drawn. Mm-hmm. I think his line work is so beautiful.
I'm not saying it was badly drawn.
But people do say it's very simple here, and stuff
I'm
like
not
that.
The enemy.
You are the enemy, because I'm making you the enemy. I'm just putting you in place.
David, if Pogo had taught us one thing, we have met the enemy, and he is us.
What did Ogopogo teach us?
That told us don't go swimming alone.
Okay. So I love the sense of humor. I love how clever it is, you know, that he was able to take very simple ideas and make them very amusing. Also, he would wring the last ounce of humor out of any concept. Mm-hmm. You know, like a week or more of strips would be kind of circle around one idea.
Right.
Once he kind of thought of, I have a joke with a bowling ball. After that, it'd be about 14 ones in a row, all kind of related to bowling balls. And he would just kind of keep rolling them out. And what's great about it is that a lot of them started with the gag. He had the gag first, and then he would work backwards from that. So his strips went opposite of, you know, he didn't start off writing panel one, panel two, panel three, panel four. He started with panel four. Mm-hmm. Then he figured out from there what the preceding panels were and how to get to that joke. And that's how he worked it. I just think he's amazingly clever and amazingly successful. Something like Peanuts isn't always funny every day. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always good every day, because it always has something meaningful about it. But it's not always laugh out loud or even smile funny. It's kind of wry funny, or it's funny, or interesting.
But with very, very rich characters.
Exactly.
That develop over time.
That's right.
Off as more of a gag strip, and then as things went along, it was able to just do more character moments.
Exactly. But Nancy is a very limited cast of characters with very limited personalities.
Is there anyone besides Nancy and Slugo in it?
Rolo.
Who's Rolo?
He's the rich boy.
Okay.
And then I can't
remember. Does he have a butler?
He might. Probably does. Yes, he does.
There we go. We got another butler.
I'll find out his name. And then there's a girl, a good-looking girl that kind of vies with Nancy for Sluggo's attention. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember her name off the top of my head. But so it's a very limited cast. And there
is
are some other.
Is Sluggo ever interested in this girl?
Yes, he'll date her for a while.
Plays the field.
Yes, he does.
That is not bad for an ugly, ugly child.
Ugly child.
Who's desperately poor.
Who lives in a house with a yard full of junk and a house full of broken furniture.
He's got no looks. Yeah. He's got no money. He's got two ladies.
Two ladies. That's all that matters.
That's why they call him Sluggo.
So they call him Slugimp, because he's pimping.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know why I went there.
Listen, I don't want to tell you how to do your title card this time around, but if you don't do it Nancy and Sluggo style, I will be very disappointed.
Well, this show is going to be up playing while I'm in England, so I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, so you are right now, as people are listening to this, you are in England.
Yes.
What are you doing in England right now?
Right now, I am most likely driving somewhere.
That's right.
Wait, what time is it? Let me look. Okay. It's 6 in the morning there, so I'm probably sleeping right now.
Okay, here's the thing. You're actually looking at what time it is. Who knows what time the listener is listening to this?
Oh, well, dear listener. Well,
by the way, you've got a terrible cough. Are you okay in England?
I'm fine.
All right.
I'm fine. But you know, it is the home of the bubonic plague. Mm-hmm. I'll get myself checked when I get home.
And they never caught Jack the Ripper,
who apparently killed you with a cough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was more dramatic. I had this kind of idea of entrails spread all over the place. With Dr. Gull or whatever his name was. And is that his name, Dr. Gull? William Gull?
Is that the real name of Asterix the Gull?
Did you read that book that they based From Hell on, Before Hell?
No, I did read the follow-up, the Canadian follow-up, Raise a Little Hell.
Raise a Little Hell, yeah.
Now, for some reason, Alan Moore had no problem with that
at
all.
He had no problem with that, no. And it's popular at hockey games.
It is.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Which is weird, because you think that you don't want high temperatures in ice rinks, but they want a lot of hell in the ice rink.
Yep.
So it raises a little hell.
Yep.
Pretty soon the skaters are skating around on a cement floor. It's terrible. Big puddle.
Aw, Trooper. Good for Trooper.
What have you done?
They did a lot of hit songs.
Well, you know what?
We've been through this
already.
We went
through this before. Listen, we don't need to go through it again.
I know. It's like, but we are turning very close to being just a Trooper-related podcast, and I can't have that.
We should start that. We can have Ray on. Ray, he lives around town. I mean, Trooper's a local band, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, if you just leave Ray, a couple of bottles out, he'll come. He'll come to recycle them, and then you ask him to come be on the show.
I think he's doing okay on his residuals.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Every so often, when he starts to lose money, all of a sudden Tim Hortons uses his one of his songs in one of their donut ads, and then we're fine.
As the songwriter who wrote with Bryan Adams told our friend David M, or close personal friend David M.
You're close. I'm an acquaintance.
You're an acquaintance?
I'm a friendly acquaintance.
I'm a close personal friend of David M.
Told
him at the time.
Half a name drop because told he didn't him use the
he,
last name.
When he first started writing with Brian Adams, he told David that a hit would buy you a house. And David said, what'll four hits buy you, a hotel? So I always like that little Monopoly humor.
And the sad thing about him is he's now had to go directly to jail.
That's right. And he wasn't allowed to pass go or collect $200.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he did have that get out of jail free card.
The original the Monopoly game when they invented it, it was supposed to be anti-Monopoly, it was supposed to show you monopolies are bad. Mm-hmm. Here's a game to show you this is bad.
Yeah,
and just became an incredible.
It is, because it's really boring to play.
Yeah, it's very boring. One, monopolies are boring, and they make everything sad for people around them.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me, says certain people.
Parker Brothers.
That's basically the way things are run now. No, that's okay.
Same
thing with the game Trouble. It was like, oh, you know, it's fun to get into trouble.
Can you do it?
What? Oh,
do you want trouble?
Yeah, you. No. You've got trouble. Wait, don't run. This kind of trouble is not. It's lots of fun.
Pop a matic, pop the dice, pop a six, and you move twice.
Yeah, but you pop a six three times, and that's the devil's game.
That's not trouble.
And then you know what happens after you pop a six three times?
Trouble.
You raise a hell. Raise a little hell. You raise a little hell.
You and your trooper.
That's how it goes. But you know what they say? If you ever find yourself in hell, keep going and keep going up the stairs and you end up in the girls' heaven.
In the girls' change room?
Yeah, in the girls' change room. Really, they got a change room for girls'
They got heaven. A change room in it because you got to change into your weight robe thing.
Well, what are they changing out of?
Their regular clothes.
What? Do they ever change back into their regular clothes?
No, of course not.
What happens to those clothes?
I don't know. They probably get thrown into the lake of fire. What else is it there
for? So there's a guy
a giant
whose job.
Incinerator.
So there's an angel whose job is to take all the panties and throw it into the lake.
No. The women, when they're leaving the change room, there's a little chute. They just throw it in. It just slides and falls into the lake of fire.
That doesn't sound right.
It sounds perfectly right. It's efficient as well.
Wait, from what I've seen about the rapture,
are you telling
don't
me
they go up naked?
Do their clothes fall off when they go up?
Yeah. Rapture? Yeah, you end up with your clothes around the ground.
Rapture sounds hot.
Okay, that's awkward enough to end on. That's awkward enough.
All right. Pimp your shows.
Okay. Yeah, I do a show called Moose Boosh, Slickety Jim's Chat and Chew. I think I do. I might not be going on anymore. we're recording this in the past, and this is in the future. Look, here's the best thing to do. Just
if you live in Vancouver.
Just Google me. See if there's something I'm doing. Just Google me. But one thing that will be on definitely is the Irrelevant Show podcast. It's from CBC Radio. I write some stuff for them. It's a sketch comedy show. It's very funny. Why not give it a listen?
Yeah, why
and,
not?
It's good. Let's say someone who is a fan of this show meets you in England. Is there a code or some way of them letting you know that they know you from
this? How would they recognize me?
Because
my face has never been shown.
Because you're wearing the damn shirt. Like right now, you're wearing a Sneaky Dragon shirt.
I am wearing a Sneaky Dragon shirt.
Yeah. And
so I'm doing the show today.
Wait, has your face never been on the website?
No.
Wow, that is something.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
They'll never know me.
But if they did recognize you from your voice, they would go, "Who's this mate?"
That's right.
You know, I recognize his voice.
I'll tell
He's
you.
He's telling stories about Trooper. Who else would be doing that?
That's right. Him again with his three dressed up as a nine.
Yeah. Boys in the bright white sports car.
Boys in the bright white sports car. You know what? You're here for a good time. Not a long time.
All right, that's what they should say to you. That should be
no,
the code.
Actually, what I think that they should say to me is this would be the code.
Yeah.
Hi, I really enjoy Sneaky Dragon. And I'd say, thanks. Or watch your mate. Whatever seems better at the time.
Okay. And that's the code for to come up to you and go, when they see you in England.
As if people are going to recognize me, but you don't need a code.
Look, if you're in England
I'm an approachable
in July
fellow.
And you see a haggard dad in a car who looks like he's been driving way too long.
Yep.
Then
I'll probably be driving up to the Orkney Islands.
Could you just tell? I mean, we're really running out of time. Could you just tell that story really quick about the dresses and
you want to hear that
yeah,
story?
Yeah.
So that's a good.
You were trying
place
to
end?
Tell that story over at the pizza parlor, and it wasn't going over too well.
Well, it's really a short story.
Right, go ahead.
It's quite a short story. We landed. This was our first trip with both the girls going to England. We landed at the airport.
Phyllis and Millis.
They were six, and they were three. We landed at the airport.
They were you,
they were me. They were a three dressed up as a six. We went to the – we went off the plane. We made a key mistake. I'll admit it. This is not a good idea. Early morning, even though it feels like it's nighttime to you, do not have Burger King at an airport in Manchester. Actually, it's Manchester. Anyway, we got our car. got in our car, started driving. We're driving down the motorway.
Full of whoppers.
Stuff full of whopper. And this England, so they're deep fried whoppers. No, they weren't really. That'd be horrible. We were driving down the motorway. The motorway is like kind of like a freeway, only you're more trapped.
Right.
Because you don't know where you are, mm-hmm. and there's nowhere to turn off. Okay. So my oldest daughter chooses that moment to throw up. And they're both wearing these cute little kind of, I don't want to say nylon, but they're kind of like, you know, pretend fabric, not real fabric, yeah. right? Not cotton.
Yeah, like a polyester.
Some sort of, yeah, like a polyester, these little cute dresses. So she threw up into her dress and she was holding it there and it wasn't dripping. It was just sitting in the dress.
She had made a bit of a bucket out of her dress.
Yeah, she'd made a little bucket. Of course, this caused a chain reaction. My younger daughter, then she threw up into her dress. So she was sitting there. Both of them were sitting in the back seat of this car.
With the remains of Whopper.
With the remains of Whopper, you know, kind of cuddled in their lap in a little. And so we drove for quite a while. And the whole time I'm driving along, going about, it's the motorway. It's a 70 mile an hour speed limit.
Yeah.
I make it a point. I always go 20 over the speed limit. So I was going about.
For luck.
I was going about 90 miles an hour. That seemed fast enough. But I could not get there fast enough to wherever I was going.
Because you can't outrun
and
the
I kept turning around to the girls and saying, don't worry, we're almost there. And we were looking for gas stations, right? We're looking for a petrol station. We're looking for this, you know, somewhere to stop. We're looking, nowhere, nothing. These poor girls are sitting in the backseat of the car, you know, holding the puke in their dress, which fortunately is not dripping out. It's not sieving or anything. It's just sitting in there. We're driving. The other thing was my brother-in-law, who was also with us.
Yeah.
We ended up having to rent separate vehicles. Mm-hmm. So he was following us in the goofiest vehicle that anyone has ever seen. So I would simultaneously be saying to my daughters, don't worry, everything's okay. I'd look in the mirror to make sure he's following us. Then I would start laughing at his car. Then I'd be driving again. I turn to them, say, everything's okay. Don't worry. Look in the mirror. See him. Start laughing. Seriously, when he was driving his car, other people were looking at his car, pointing and laughing at it. It was the silliest car in the world. It's called a Fiat Multipla. You can look at pictures of it. It will not look as silly as it was.
Let me just say, you're laughing at him.
Yeah.
And you've got two girls in the back with puke skirts.
Puke skirts, yeah.
And you're the one going, at least I'm not that son of a bitch.
Exactly. That's right.
That poor loser.
I was in this really nice Vauxhall Astra. This nice
check
hatchback.
Check this car out.
Star silver, baby. But anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Okay. I just wanted to have that story. So if you see a fella and it looks like his daughter's in the backseat in a bit of distress, that's probably Dave. Please say hi.
That's probably – it seems that happens no matter what. When we went the time before with Mary when she was very small.
Yeah.
This is before Eve came.
Yeah.
And we were driving along. We left at night from Glasgow and I was driving. And I hadn't fully closed the hatchback on the car. The whole way from Glasgow all the way down to Northampton – which is, you know, so from North Scotland all the way to sort of central England.
Gotcha, yeah.
People were flashing their lights at me all the time to let me know that the hatchbacks was ajar. I guess they could see the light. I don't know how they could tell. All the time, a flash. So we pulled into a gas station and I tried to see what the problem was. I couldn't see any problem. So I started again. I was still getting flashed by people. At least it was only their lights.
I went out the other week. And I was walking down the street and a car flashed its lights at me. And I was like, oh, I wonder what that's about. And I was just thinking like it was doing something. And then I walked around the corner and another car flashed its lights at me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, I got my fly down.
Oh, I thought you forgot your pants.
No, it wasn't a million miles away from that. And it was just like, oh, shit. And so
they flashed their lights at you.
Yeah.
That's nice, though, that they would do that.
Yeah, it was a nice thing to do. But by the time I got the second one, I was like, why would they do, son of a, and just like real cool, just like off to the side. Like, and it had to be bad enough that someone could see it from the road.
Yeah. Well, when I went to see you guys at Fan Expo here in town,
I
was walking down Burrard. There's a million people leaving, you know, streaming in and out of this place. And then I noticed this breeze. And I realized my fly was down.
Yeah.
And so I was going to turn around and do it up. But I thought that would look even weirder. Like if you're walking backwards, looking at your fly, like, hey, everybody, look at me behind me. I'm zipping my fly up. Yeah. So I just kind of zipped it up.
While watching the cosplayers,
just zipped it up.
As you have to. Yeah. And then you went like, no, it's a character.
That's right.
I'm cosplaying.
I'm Zipper Man.
Yeah, you're the human fly. Okay, wrap up the show. We're way over.
There.
We're way
oh,
over.
My God,
we're say
way
hi
over.
To, say hi to Dave in England.
Yes, please say hi to me if you see
safe,
me there.
Safe voyage, Dave. Come back soon. Come back safe.
Bon voyage.
I've heard horrible things about England from Schoolhouse Rock videos.
There's no elbow room there at all, people. No elbow room. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.